Welcome to episode 18 of Soccer Spotlight on WQSU FM, The Pulse. Again, on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Again, Anthony Haller, Ryan Campbell with you. As always, another week. Another week that didn't have a whole lot of drama, of big news. There was a few, obviously. Mm-hmm. There always is, with some big sackings. Of course, the first one, Conte. I think that's probably a bigger deal. I think because there was so much like drama with Conte publicly insulting his players, the board. I mean, it was a disaster. It was a broken marriage from day one.
I think we all saw it come in. I think everyone we saw it. We were just waiting to see when Tottenham would do it. I knew, had a feeling that as soon as international break came, they would sack him. I didn't expect them to get a replacement manager. I just thought they would have an interim, and this is what they decided to do. But the one thing I want to see is that how does Tottenham play after Conte leaves? Do they play with the reins loose? Do they play attacking style football? And do we see a different Tottenham? A Tottenham that when Conte was gone, that one game against City, when they play City, they play better, and they looked a real proper team, a top four team, when they beat City. And then when Conte came back, it looked like a little shaky and it didn't look good. But also at the same time, when they had the interim manager in charge, the one that's in charge now, they also went out to Sheffield United in the cup.
Yeah, I mean, it's Spurs. That's really the only thing you can really say about it. It's that Conte didn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. I think it was pretty obvious that he didn't want to be there. And then the players, they didn't want to play for him. It was a disaster.
Yeah.
In every facet of it, it was a disaster.
Who do you think is top four? Spurs, Newcastle, Liverpool?
I still think Liverpool.
I would say Spurs. I just feel like Harry Kane will carry them through. Son will get back on form, and Spurs will just find a way. I'd say I like Liverpool, but I just don't think this season they have enough. But I would say I put trust in Spurs that the City game, I saw enough to say I'll back them for fourth, but it's going to be tight because it's Spurs. Spurs, they could play amazing after Conte leaves, or they could be a disaster. You never know with Spurs.
The reason I go for Liverpool is that, one, Luis Diaz is coming back. Mm-hmm. That's going to change things dramatically. Two, I think what we saw, if they play like they did against United, they will beat any team in the world by five. If they can get solid performances together, they are the best team out there. They're arguably, I think, when they're playing in top form, they're the best team in the league. The problem is they've been so unbelievably inconsistent this year that you can't say that.
Yeah, I get that 100%.
Liverpool also have the bonus of having Alisson. I think that's the difference between Liverpool and Tottenham, is that Liverpool have a world-class goalkeeper. Tottenham don't.
Yeah. Let me ask you the next question. Who is Spurs' next manager?
I don't think it'll be Nagelsmann. I really don't. I don't think it'll be Poch. It's a hard question to ask. You'd look at maybe Jorge Jesus. You think about that. You think about maybe Lopetegui. But they have history of taking Wolves managers and not doing well with that. There's so many options, I think, and so many questions that you have to ask about each one of them that there's no real... Because since I think Nagelsmann is the clear number one candidate right now, I don't think they're going to get him. I think he is their top choice right now. I don't think they get him. I think maybe they look in Germany, maybe Marco Rosa. Mm-hmm. But who knows?
Where do you think Nagelsmann goes then?
I think he stays unemployed for a while. I think he'll eventually find a Champions League regular around there. I think maybe if the PSG job comes open, he could go there. The Juventus job, and even possibly the Real Madrid job could become open this year.
I think he goes to Spurs because I don't think any big club after what we've seen at Bayern Munich goes after him. I think he needs to build his stock as Spurs again, like Kyle Posch did. And I think he could get another big job after that.
I don't think Nagelsmann should have been sacked.
I don't think he should have been sacked too, but it's unfortunate. And the big clubs look at it as like a little stain on it being sacked by Bayern Munich. But if it's not Nagelsmann, the only other guy I'll say is Thomas Frank of Brentford.
That's an interesting one. I hadn't thought about that.
I don't think
he abandons Brentford at this point, though.
I don't think he abandons, but I think if Spurs pay a lot of money to Brentford, throw a lot of money at Thomas Frank, I think he could go, because that's the only real one I see. I don't see any clear-cut top choice manager out there.
Yeah, you think of like De Zerbi too, but I don't think he'll leave Brighton at this point. I think soon. Marco Silva even is an option.
Too soon for both of them, to be honest, I think.
Obviously, Patrick Vieira is now available, but he would never in a million years go there.
If he went to Tottenham, Arsenal would burn his house down. Arsenal fans would burn his house down. They might kidnap his son if he went there.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, but what do you think about the Nagelsmann sacking now?
I don't think it was fair. I think he was... I mean, they won all 8 Champions League games with him this season. It doesn't make sense.
I just thought it was insane, to be honest. Like, why would you sack him right now? He just got by PSG. You play City. You want to appoint a new coach when you play City in a few weeks' time. You play Dortmund the next game. Thomas Tuchel's coming in. He plays Dortmund. If Bayern Munich loses to Dortmund and Dortmund smacks him, I will go back to this one and say, why would you sack Julian Nagelsmann? Because Julian Nagelsmann can't beat Dortmund. I think he would have beat Dortmund, to be honest. And I think Bayern, the tie was still favorites, and they were still in their hands. But now, I actually think it's even. It's an even game, because you don't know what Tuchel's going to do. You don't know how the players are going to respond to Tuchel's formation. And now I think City are overwhelming favorites now, too.
Yeah, especially because they didn't really replace Lewandowski. Mm-hmm. You're not getting 50 goals a season from Mane. It's just not happening.
Or Choupo-Moting.
It's simply that's not happening. You're not getting 50 goals between them. You needed really like when you let Lewandowski leave, you think about it. There's one player I think that can really like reliably replace Lewandowski, and that's Erling Haaland.
Yeah, true, 100%. And when I saw that, I was just like, this is not right. I think Nagelsmann, it was so unfair. And the way they did, too, they didn't even tell him. They couldn't even call him in for me or nothing. It was when he was on vacation. He was on a skiing trip.
And yeah, I mean, he found out over social media.
Yeah, I would be so upset. If I'm Nagelsmann, I have a right to feel sad. I have a right to feel betrayed. And I have a right to feel hatred if I'm Nagelsmann.
Yeah, I mean, it's unprofessional. I think that's just kind of the way it goes, though.
I just think it's FC Hollywood all over again, because Nagelsmann was a young coach. You were going to give him time, I heard, at Bayern Munich. You were going to let him grow. He was going to be there for 5, 6, 7 years. He lasted, I think, almost close to 2 years. Not 2 years fully, but close. Like a year and like a few months left. But really, you're going to sack him? It wasn't even bad times. Niko Kovac was... had bad times, and I can see why you sacked him. There's other bad times at Bayern Munich. This was actually a decent Bayern Munich team. It wasn't a dire situation where you need to sack Nagelsmann. I think it was unnecessary, to be honest, and they panicked because I think they wanted Thomas Tuchel, and when they saw Tottenham job open up, they thought Tuchel might go, and they sacked Nagelsmann. But at the same time, you might have given Tottenham Nagelsmann in replace of that. And to be honest, the other thing I would say to Bayern Munich, if it was only for Tuchel, Tuchel would have never gone to Tottenham. I'd be shocked if Tuchel went to Tottenham.
I don't think Tuchel would have gone to Tottenham.
So what was the need to sack Tuchel now? I mean, sack Nagelsmann now. You could let him see it out the Man City game. If they beat City and they went to the Champions Final and beat Madrid or Chelsea, what's the reason to sack him? He could have gone to the final, and it could have been a good situation. Nagelsmann could have been the hot young manager with Arteta, right there with Arteta. But now, you just made your season... I think you ended your season, to be honest, a Bayern hierarchy.
Yeah, I mean, because I think the league's expected the Champions League is the goal. I don't think they win it. They're not winning the Champions League now. You don't win the new... You sack your manager in between knockout rounds, you're not winning the Champions League. It's not going to happen.
Even when Tuchel came into Chelsea, he had the winter before the round of 16
to get it right. Yeah, he had a transfer window.
he has nothing. It's literally, he has literally a few weeks. That's it. He isn't even going to get a month in charge before he plays City in the first leg.
And no, this is Man City with Erling Haaland
under Pep.
Yeah, he has 2 weeks? No, it's not. I don't. There's no world where this works.
Mm-hmm. I don't see it. I think it's a really stupid decision, to be honest, if I'm being quite frank. And the next thing, too, is that I don't get why you don't tell some of the players who Joao Cancelo found out when he was on international duty.
Yeah, I mean, it just does not make any sense at all why they would do that now. You, like, at this point in the season, if a manager, like, yeah, if you're fighting relegation, then yeah, you make that bold move. If you're in a title race, you stick with it because you're getting results.
Yeah.
You're in the title race. You stick with what you got. If you're unhappy at the end of the season, then yeah, now you find a new manager, get a fresh start. But at this stage of the season, in the position that Bayern are in, sacking a manager, no matter who it is, makes no sense.
I could even understand it more if they did at the end of the season, if they weren't happy with Nagelsmann, but they did it so close to the end. And if Nagelsmann... I mean, if Tuchel wins a title, it's really Nagelsmann's title, to be honest. Because Nagelsmann was there most of the season. He won most of those games. But Tuchel's going to get credit for it. And I don't think it's right, to be honest.
No, absolutely.
And also, there's reports coming out now that there's divide in the Bayern dressing room because Nagelsmann sided. Because some players didn't like Nagelsmann and went to hierarchy. Some players did, like Musiala. I don't think Musiala's development happens as much as it did, and he progressed as much as he did without Nagelsmann.
No, you're absolutely right. I think he broke through under Hansi Flick, who I think can claim some responsibility for that. But yeah, he kind of flourished under Nagelsmann. He's been one of their best players this season, if not their best player.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. It's just that simple. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and it's also the older players, too, because Nagelsmann wanted to push out older players, too. Like, I was hearing he was starting to push out Neuer and also players like Müller and stuff. But at the same time, it's getting to the point, and they're up there in that age where Bayern has started looking younger, and Nagelsmann could have been rebuilt with a younger core. Like, Musiala is there. You saw what he did with Musiala. Musiala is a top talent in the world. A lot of clubs would love to have him on their books, in their team. Most clubs, he walks in and he starts in a starting lineup.
Absolutely.
And if he was able to bring a player like Musiala in, think about all the other players he could have brought through. Wingers, I would have liked to see Alphonso Davies progress more, to see him become undisputably the best left-back in the world. And I think Nagelsmann could have made him been undisputably best left-back in the world. And we could see a progression, like a Dani Alves type of memory that he lives on.
Yeah, I mean, with Davies, it's hard to really make a case that he was ever the best left back in the world. I think the year Bayern won the Champions League, I think he was vastly overrated, and then now I think he's become underrated.
No, I think I could see now, but I think the year he won the Champions League, he was really good. But I just think Davies could have really flourished under Nagelsmann, to be honest. I think that's a perfect manager.
Oh, I think that was exactly the right thing. I mean, I think he will do really well under Tuchel because of the back five.
Yeah.
But still, I think there was no point. Sacking Nagelsmann now was just not a good move.
And you let him play in players like De Ligt, Upamecano, and all these other players that he wanted, and these aren't Tuchel's players, to be honest. Even Joao Cancelo, although he hasn't played much and he's been a defensive lapse, that's still an Nagelsmann player. That's not a Tuchel player.
Yeah, I mean, the Cancelo move just never made any sense. I'm not sure why he left City. I hope he comes to Liverpool. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, but
and if he's really mad at Pep, I think he would do it.
Mm-hmm. I just don't get it, to be honest. I just don't get the move, and I can't. I would like to someone from Bayern to explain to me, why do you sock Nagelsmann? Like, explain to me and make me see.
Yeah, Oliver Kahn, get on the phone with us right now.
Yeah, because to be honest, I want him to do a press conference so I could see or come out with a statement saying why he sacked Nagelsmann, because the one they put out.
There's no chance that happens. It was
not right. Like, do you see the statement they put out saying? Everyone could tell it was a lie, and they were lying through their teeth. Yeah, but next let's talk about real fast before we run out of time, because this is going to be a shorter episode today. Let's talk about City to, Liverpool.
Time constraints by me having to go to work.
Let's talk about the City Liverpool game this Saturday.
2-2. Calling it right now.
2-2.
Yeah.
Arsenal lead grows even more, and Arsenal feel more confident that happens.
Yeah, I think 2-2.
I think I'm going for something crazy. 3-0 Liverpool.
Really?
3-0 Liverpool. I think Liverpool come back.
Really?
International break strong. I don't think City's ready.
See, here's the thing. Liverpool's attack is performing right now. Luis Diaz will be back. However, Liverpool's defense has not been good all season. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think there's fireworks. City have trouble beating Liverpool.
Mm-hmm. But I see that 100%. But let me say this. Since Virgil van Dijk has come back for Liverpool, and he's been in the team, Liverpool have only allowed one goal in all competitions.
He has been quite I don't know if you knew that, since he came back from injury.
Yeah, but someone told me that fact, and I fact-checked it. It was true, and I think Liverpool's defense is underrated in this form right now. And I think
since Konate come back, really.
Yeah.
Konate's been better than van Dijk this season.
Yeah, but
Konate's tremendously underrated.
Yeah, van Dijk gives them that leadership that they don't have at the back, and I think it proves pivotal in a time like this against City, and I think City gets lapped at the Etihad, to be honest.
Without Haaland, I mean, Haaland is allergic to Van Dijk. We've seen that. It's his kryptonite. Haaland has played against Van Dijk 7 times. He has scored once, which is just baffling to me. Obviously, because it's Haaland. It doesn't make sense. I do think Liverpool are going to be all over City. I think they're probably going to deserve the win. I think City are still going to get something out of it, though.
Well, I just think...
It's one of those games. This is one of those games where you kind of expect some refereeing nonsense.
My head says 2-2 like you, or 1-1, but my gut says it's going to be a shock. I just feel like a shot Liverpool win blowout, to be honest, where Liverpool turns up like how they did at United. The United game is kind of point two that I'm basing it off of, where they turn up at United. I feel like
if Liverpool, they play like they did against United, they'll beat them by 5.
Yeah, I think Liverpool will turn up to City, to be honest, at the Etihad, and that's why I think I say 3-0. I don't think it will be a big embarrassment, but I think it's something that detracts Pep, and it could be a real season hurter, because the league is, I think the league might be gone after this.
If they lose to Liverpool, the league's gone, I think.
I have to see what Arsenal does against Liverpool, to be honest. And Arsenal still has to play City.
I think Arsenal will lose at Anfield.
But Arsenal still has to play City too, and Chelsea. And these are all some tough games. So I think the league is almost out of reach, but I'm not putting it past City to come back. But also, I think it hurt Champions League, because although we said Nagelsmann was sacked by Bayern Munich, Tuchel does have Pep's number, though.
He does.
And if that gets in the head and all this starts coming around City, Tuchel getting back at Pep and all this media drama, it could really hurt City. And their season could really go to waste. They could win no titles.
Yeah, they could go trophyless this season.
And for City and their success they had, this would be amazing. And for Pep.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I think Liverpool will beat City. I think Liverpool could beat City. I think they will beat Arsenal. But, you know, that's 1 point difference. The big game is Arsenal, when Arsenal plays City. Because I think neither of them, realistically, neither of them are the only, City could beat Liverpool, Arsenal are not. I don't think it's going to happen. Obviously, because really, the only reason, and let's acknowledge, the only reason Arsenal won was because of just a bad refereeing decision. That Liverpool should have had a penalty. That game should have finished 3-3.
I would say there were some controversial calls. I'll admit that, but yeah, I can see your point, where you're coming from. I would say the penalty that Arsenal got was soft. I thought really soft.
And then there was the handball.
Mm-hmm. But I see your whole point, but the other thing that I would say, though, is that this Arsenal team seems different. Arteta seems like a top manager. Arteta seems like he's brought life back to Arsenal. And I think Arsenal will be up for this game, to be honest.
I think they will be up for this game. I think they're going to give them a game. But Anfield is Anfield.
Anfield is Anfield, but at the same time, I think one pivotal thing that Arteta has said to his team, his Arsenal team, when they were in the title hand, it fell at Anfield. I think he's going to use that motivation for this Arsenal player, Arsenal team, to get something out of the game and get a win or get a tie. And I think a tie is still a really good result.
And I mean, a draw at Anfield is a good result.
Yeah, because
no matter who you are, drawing at Anfield is a good result.
Yeah, because Arteta's Arsenal team, when he was playing, literally fell at Anfield, their title challenge. And I think he's not going to let that happen. I think that's pivotal. Maybe in the other managers, I would have said, yeah, they lose against Liverpool at Anfield, or they probably don't show up. But I think this Arsenal team shows up. Arteta's going to have these boys up for this game.
It's just the thing is showing up and getting result are very different. Yeah. I just don't see Arsenal winning at Anfield. I think Liverpool beat them. Yeah, I think they give them a game, but I don't think they win.
I think they do. But another thing too, why I say they win, is because Liverpool, City, Chelsea still play. Arsenal look at those three results and say, this is the biggest game and the biggest stretch of our season right here. Big rivals, City, Liverpool, Chelsea, you have to get something. I say a win out of the Chelsea game. You take a tie in the Liverpool and you could tie in the City game. And you do against the smaller teams and you win the league.
See, I think if Liverpool do the double over City, so if Liverpool beat City, I think Arsenal are going to write that game off. I think that's a game that if Liverpool beat City, losing to Liverpool would not be a big deal.
Yeah.
Would not be a huge setback.
Unless they get slapped like 5-0.
Unless they lose 5-0. But I don't think that'll happen.
I don't think that happened. I would be shocked if that happened. This is a different Arsenal team.
The most I see Arsenal losing by is 3-0. That's the absolute most.
I think it'd probably be like a 2-0.
I think 2-0 or 3-1. That's I'm gonna put it out there right now. My prediction, I'm gonna say 2-1.
I think
it makes sense. Arsenal score a lot of goals. Mm-hmm. Liverpool concede a lot of goals, but they also score a lot of goals. Wait. Liverpool don't concede that many goals. They've conceded only three. Okay, well, they've also played two games less. Never mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but.
But they concede like a goal a game. They score about a goal and a half. Arsenal score a little bit more than two. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty even matchup.
I'll say it's an even matchup, and I think it's going to be a good game, to be honest. But I just think. I see a draw in this.
I think if City lose, I think Arsenal will also lose. I think if City draw, Arsenal will probably draw.
Yeah, I see this 100%. I think what you said about the City point, if City lose, Arsenal could ride off the game a little bit and take a loss, and it's not going to be that big of a deal. Because if they beat City at the Etihad, I think that's a bigger result because they just had to look at it and say, we beat Chelsea. That's it. We take care of the smaller teams. We won the league. We're champions.
Yeah, because I think you look at the past title races and you say, it's the results against the other top teams that aren't in the title race that really make the difference. Yeah. Both of them split against United. Mm-hmm. They won one and lost one. If City takes 0 points from Liverpool and Arsenal take three, that's a huge gap. Last season, Liverpool did not beat another team in the top four. They drew all six games.
Yeah.
City beat Chelsea twice. Plus the 2 points they took from Liverpool, that's 8 points from the rest of the top four. That made the difference in the title race.
Yeah. Also, other thing I have to say, too, is that it's not going to be a big deal because Liverpool, they're going to be fighting, but I think it's relegation teams you have to watch out for, too, because those teams are going to be fighting for life.
Well, Liverpool have been worse against the relegation teams than they have against Liverpool. Have lost to Bournemouth, they've lost to Forest, they've lost to Leeds, they've lost to Wolves, they drew with Palace, they lost to Fulham, Brentford, and Brighton. Or they did not lose to Fulham, they drew with Fulham. But against the top five, beat Newcastle twice, beat Tottenham, beat City, beat United, but then they lost twice to Arsenal United.
Yeah.
They're getting the wins against the top teams. They have to be wary of that.
Yeah, because I think the teams at the bottom all the way from Crystal Palace down, I think those are going to be hard match. They're going to be clawing. They're going to be doing everything to stay in the Premier League. And this is where it comes, because this is why I'm happy we got the Everton game out the way in one, because Everton would be another tough team to play against, because Everton's going to be fighting for life. This is Everton Football Club. The fans will show up, away games, home games, and it's going to be hard. Teams like West Ham, a London Derby, is also going to be fighting for life too. Big games. I have to say, you have to show up for Arsenal. You can't just walk over and think, oh, they're bottom of the league, it's going to be easy, or they're about to be relegated. No, you have to show up, because these guys will play for their life, play for the badge, play for the club.
The turning point for Arsenal season is going to be 33-36. Those, you take 9 points from those games. Doesn't matter which 9 points you get, you win a title.
Yeah.
You lose to City, but then beat Chelsea, Newcastle, and Brighton. I think you still win the league.
And we still have to play Newcastle too. Brighton, another top team. This is why I say this isn't over. I think even if we beat City and we beat Liverpool, it still isn't over. We still have to play Newcastle, Brighton, Chelsea. All top teams, all tough games.
Yeah, those five games. Those four and then the Liverpool game, you need probably 10, 11 points from those.
10, 11?
80 points, you need to, and then you need to probably win the rest.
Mm-hmm.
80, because 80 points is not going to do it.
80 points is not. I feel confident at like 93 points, 95 points.
Arsenal's got 10 games to play. They're on 69 points. City can only get to 94.
I see City hitting 90 points. I could really see it.
I don't see that happening. I think City lose to Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Draw with Arsenal and finish in 89. I think that's the way the season is going to end.
All right, let me ask you last question before we sign off. Who wins the title?
Arsenal.
City.
Arsenal. I just think they've been the best team in the league this season. As a whole. Liverpool, at their peak, are the best team in the league. They have had the best individual performance in the league this season in the 7-0 over United, but Arsenal has been incredibly consistent. They have been like unimaginable levels of consistency. They get it done. The only team that's ever been this, you know, consistently good, Liverpool 1920, City 1819. Or City 1718, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
This is way better of an Arsenal team. Like, because Arsenal, it's not that they're better than everyone else, like City was during their prime. It's that they're better enough.
Mm-hmm.
They're good enough. It's not that they're just head and shoulders above everyone. They're just better enough to get the job done.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to blow you out of the water. They're not going to beat you 8-0. But they're gonna get wins done. They're gonna get the win. And that's what I think is going to push Arsenal over the edge, is that they're not prone to getting slapped up. They're not prone to freak losses.
Mm-hmm.
They get the job done. I think that's so. Yeah, on that note, that's going to do it for this episode of Soccer Spotlight. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Again, Anthony Hill, Ryan Campbell, signing off.